I remember when these functions were totally not possible for my brain. And now I'm definitely doing them. There we go. Hello. Let me know if you can hear me. Is my volume up?
Yep, I can hear you.
There we go. Okay, great.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Sorry for.
I sent the Zoom link to the media address and I thought, like, did I miss
No, you know, what
process?
happened was I thought I was signed into that address, and I was searching everywhere, and I was in my own email account, so that's why that happened.
No problem. Do you have a sense of how much time you just have available for right now so that I can keep within comfortable parameters?
If it's all right with you, a half hour would be great, because I'm actually like kind of losing my steam at the end of the day.
Astonishingly wonderful. I'm really grateful for your time. Thank you for coming and spending some time with us.
Yeah, no problem. I do not feel that I'm like extremely qualified in the sense of like helping with what you asked, but I'm gonna do what I can. So we'll see.
Thank you. What we do is we record interviews and we share with private groups that are working on particular topics or projects.
Okay.
And then many of those groups are working on our public media, and people are already asking me to share this publicly as much as possible, if that's all right with you, if you're comfortable with that. This is a brainstorming process that is particularly important to us, and we've been trying to reach the core of sort of your style of community activities for many years, and had been following your work way back, and a lot of things have happened for any one of us personally, who then found one another, and part of what we center is these modalities, living close to the earth and letting go of these things around money systems that have control of us, that are doing so much harm. That it's not much of a trade-off, the trade-off we're having to make to participate in these economies.
Yeah.
And we So myself personally, I was working at many of these intersections and raising community around these topics before I was trafficked in Texas. And that was 2015, 2016, sort of in there. And what was really interesting that we discovered later when we documented trafficking pathways, ways that many different people are being trafficked without anyone addressing it or knowing about it. We realized that there is an amount of different kinds of social targeting going on when communities are implementing these modalities. There are interests that kind of move in and screw with them. And my communities were affected by that in some major ways that I didn't really recognize. And it has to do with like toxins in the environment and people being sensitized with environmental illness and toxic injury, where they can be intersectionalized until they can't really protect themselves. And then they're easily commoditized in all of these different ways. So what we were reaching for way back when was always like, how can we do this in the best possible ways? So for me, like when I started watching your broadcasts, here is this person who is really taking this subject material seriously and is sharing his learning process in all of these amazing ways, which, you know, there's a certain amount of courage required to go through the process. And then there is an additional level of courage if you're going to be sharing it that widely, like digitally, all of the time. And so that has really been part of our evolution into a network of people solving the scariest, hardest problems without much assistance, generally, because we were also severely affected, with the ability to really frame the dream forward of what it looks like when we accomplish it, and how do we make our communities safe enough to be focusing on these subjects and make sure that violence isn't happening right in our midst. Because the communities that I came into contact with early on, when I tried to build that kind of community around me, they turned out to be vulnerable to a lot of different kinds of intersectional violence going on sort of right under everybody's noses, and perpetrators can just move in those spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's like a big conversation in our network is how we can really participate with communities working on these things and have awareness of what we're navigating after we've been severely disabled by the toxicity that everyone is really scrambling now to get away from. There are a lot of people who are sort of presumed dead, but are alive and are helping one another to survive. And in that context, like what everybody is coordinating, like across all of these channels that we're working in, is beautiful, beautiful homesteading projects and like wildcrafting projects and permaculture and like natural modalities, so that people have the recovery privilege to actually recover from these illnesses, because it turns out that exactly those things that you've been broadcasting about all of this time. And of course there are others, but like you were kind of part of many of our personal stories somewhere. So it's nice. it's exciting to talk to you.
Cool. Well, I'm glad.
It's wild.
I'm glad that I can be of service, and thanks for sharing all of that with me. I understood it all, like, and it makes sense. But at the same time, I want to say that I am, I of course am familiar with trafficking, but the amount of time I've put into it is not much. So I'm pretty not knowledgeable on the situation. And I'm definitely like aloof to a degree, you could say. And I just want to I just want to acknowledge that. But at the same time, it's beautiful. Like what you're describing is not something that I would have expected. As far as the solutions, the way that you see the problems that are fractured communities, and how fractured communities are vulnerable, and fractured communities come from colonization and big corporations having their agenda and governments that have their agenda, and fractured communities create vulnerable people that can be preyed upon. And I had never really thought about it that like in this exact way that you framed it, and seeing permaculture and homesteading and connecting to the earth as a solution is a solution. But I don't feel like most people who are tackling the issue that you're talking about ever think of it, of what you've just described as the solution. So it's just really caught me surprised that
the people working directly on it are resistant to the subjects that you cover in your broadcast. And that's a huge part of the problem that we are having, because we need to be taken seriously describing the severe things that happen at our intersections and how it's directly related to our lack of what you describe.
Well, yeah. And if I had to guess, the people that run the nonprofits that are like the big players in stopping trafficking are probably very mainstream and have mainstream viewpoints of the solutions and aren't really probably looking at the roots of the problems in the first place a lot of the time. Like the same with, you know, people experiencing homelessness. Like these organizations aren't working to end homelessness. They're just basically working to alleviate the, you know, hunger and the place to sleep for a night, but they're not trying to actually end homelessness. And that's, if I had to guess, I would imagine that's the same basic situation with many of the nonprofits that run this sector of care for people.
There's a lot of alternate purposes at work in all kinds of different ways. And they're not all devious necessarily, but some of them are.
Okay.
And you know, like we're in the world, but one of the things that you've been talking about in, I think there are some latest videos, but I don't remember where exactly, transitions, like noticing where we can make mindful transitions to better ways of doing things. And I wondered if if we could imagine together a transition to where all of these abandoned people who are different, but so vivid and brilliant, living beings with languages of our own, that are not recognized in mainstream environments and with such a fundamental survival need for those environments that many people are just sort of discovering and scrabbling toward as things get more intense in the world. But if we can imagine how these communities know one another better, because there's so much work being done by survivors groups on these subjects, that's unimaginably amazing. And when we connect those things, like it's really, we're medicine for one another when we can be in communication in real ways, instead of being invisible to one another in all of the ways that we are.
Well, that's, I feel that the solution to all of our problems lies in community. If you can create strong communities that depend upon one another, they'll take care of each other. And the key is, in my opinion, it's that people need to actually need each other. We live in a time where one of the reasons our communities are so fractured is because we have everything at our fingertips. People are disposable. Our possessions are disposable. Our locations are disposable, in that for so much of our culture, we can replace all of that and potentially just replace it with the internet and being, you know, just getting all of this through virtual sensations. So we don't really need, most of us don't need our community. And this is one of the problems of why, one of the reasons that I think there are fractured communities. And so to me, if we're talking about building real community that watches out for each other and takes care of each other, which is ultimately the solution, because if you have real community, they're watching for each other. So the key to me with that, if we're talking about real community, is to create dependence upon one another, you know, interdependence, that maybe would be called. And that's difficult in a world of consumerism and individuality, where we're taught kind of like that you shouldn't need anyone else and that you should be able to do everything on your own. It kind of goes as completely counter to the mainstream way that our society is in some ways being structured. But that, to me, if I'm looking at the root, would be building interdependence where people actually need each other for their food, for their lodging, for their jobs, for their, you know, emotional connection, for their love, for their friendship. That to me is like what's going to change things. And if we have communities that are really, you know, dependent upon one another. But how do you accomplish that? That's another story.
Well, I mean, you're really connecting a lot of pieces for us. Like I only recently regained the neurological ability to like watch videos. So like I was disconnected from your work for I don't know, like there was Texas and there was like all this stuff around that. And then there was like maybe 8 or 9 years passed, or like 6 or 7, or like,
you're sure you're thinking of the same guy? This is me?
Yes. Oh yes. So much. It's just, it was really exciting. I'm sort of getting back in touch with the good parts of the media that I was absorbing at a time when really terrible violence was occurring. And it's, for a long time, it was really hard to separate those things. But there was this really fresh, beautiful effort in the communities that I found and started interacting in. It was really like honest and wonderful. Like there was a real strength to it. Like people were really interested in making mindful transitions in every way that they could. And then and this is something to unpack a different time, because actually I've lost track of the half hour mark and I don't want to run us over. Do you want to say anything about the time?
I would say another like 10 minutes would be great if that works for you.
Checking that, yeah, in 7 minutes I will wind us down.
Well, we could do 15.
I only recently regained the ability to do math. Okay. And I can sort of do math.
Okay.
15. So like 7 minutes and then like 5 more minutes. So that's like 5 after the hour is still a couple of minutes.
10 after the hour is good.
10 after the hour. We're communicating. It's working.
Yeah.
So I was like, I had my bike and I had my bike trailer and I was going and I was getting groceries and I was like, all right, I'm going to go from going to the grocery store to going to the farmer's market. And then we go from the farmer's market to like, blah, blah, blah. And we're like all these little steps, we can take all these little steps. So it was really great. And, you know, something to unpack a totally different time is all of the ways we didn't understand that there were active trafficking networks operating basically under our noses. We had no idea they were there. They were operating in ways that we had never even thought of.
Wow.
It had never occurred to any of us that there are a bunch of different pathways by which that stuff goes on. I think that some of the pieces that you've brought together for me, and based on the conversations we've been having groups about this ongoing, is that people who feel loath to make these kinds of changes and don't feel like they rely on their community actually are profoundly reliant upon their communities for safety, because they don't realize if they fall below a certain threshold of ability or privilege, or there are all these things that can happen, disability. We know how trafficking networks are taking advantage of that massively. Mm. And so people have this illusion of safety, but if they're not connected to their community, if they're not in inclusive communications in their communities, so they really know what's going on and are really protecting one another, because like you said, because they know one another, because that's how we take care of one another. And that's how we thrive and are healthy and grow as people. Like it's such a better experience than otherwise. It's getting very dark in here. There are snow clouds and everything.
Where are you?
I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, cool. And you used to live in Texas?
I lived in Texas for about 10 years.
Okay.
And I was in community professional environments where I was trying to build natural community resourcing and opportunities for people to trust one another and build things together. And I really believed in it, but I did not understand the extent to which I was affected by the environmental toxins I was coming into contact with. And then on top of that, there was Stachybotrys, toxic black mold in the house. There was water damage, and there were really terrible complications from that. And because these kinds of conditions are disbelieved in medical establishments and scientific well, they're gaslighted against. We know better now because we've seen the we have the documentation now. We did it over a number of years, but we didn't know it then. There's intentional gaslighting going on in medical and scientific environments to keep people from recognizing these health conditions as legitimate.
Okay.
And so these people are just swept into invisibility and continuing violence of really terrible kinds. So people are sort of presumed to be dead, but we're here.
Literally?
We're alive and we figured out a way to communicate.
Yeah.
There are really beautiful possibilities when we save the lives of these minds and these wise bodies.
Yeah.
People know a lot when they have been through this kind of thing. And so bringing communities together to understand one another better so that we don't succumb to the gaslighting and project things onto one another, project fears, like marketing. Mm-hmm. That says be scared of that person. We can talk with one another, and that's part of what we're modeling by having these conversations and recording them and sharing them in public when we can.
It's like we both have said community is the solution, and then the other big one that you're talking about right now is like empowerment, self-empowerment. And if we can empower ourselves and we can feel a level of confidence in ourselves, then that allows us as individuals to be able to avoid a lot of dangerous or vulnerable scenarios, because we might be seeking in a place where we shouldn't be seeking, because the repercussions, it's dangerous. But basically what I'm trying to say is, like, if we are whole inside as people and we are feeling purpose and we feel that we have a place, that puts us into an empowered state that makes it harder for people to attack us, whether that's government, corporations, or individuals, individual traffickers. And of course, that doesn't solve the problem. That still exists. But the more we can empower ourselves and each other, the more that we're be able to resist and be resilient to the people that are out to get us. And the other big part about that is that if someone is truly a truly empowered person, basically by nature empowers other people. It's people who are disempowered that actually disempower other people. But a truly empowered person doesn't have to disempower anyone, because they are comfortable, confident, they like themselves, they are complete, and they don't have to take anyone down. And so I see the importance of empowering one another, empowering yourself, so that we can empower one another, because it's a lot harder to target empowered people. And maybe one extra note to that is that empowerment, in my opinion, one of the main ways to get empowerment is to feel meaningful, to feel like you have a place, to feel like you can do things. To grow food is this. To grow food is for you to be able to pick that tomato and say, I grew this. And it's a place that you have. It's the garden. You feel a place there. And the community garden is even better, because you're producing something, but you're doing it with others. And that's where I see both self-empowerment and community through things creating intentional community that is based around connecting to the earth and being very much a part of the earth. That's a community that's much harder to manipulate and get into than one where people are being taught to isolate themselves from one another, not need each other, and put each other down.
Yeah, for real. Thank you for the very wonderful words. I see it is 1 minute after the hour.
We got another 10 minutes.
I'm doing great. I can do numbers. I have a spreadsheet.
Nice.
For the first time in like many years, I'm using a spreadsheet to do some things.
Congrats on making it one step forward every day.
Wow. Well, we can't wait to get outside. So much of this is about organizing safe outside access for people who have been damaged at all of these intersections.
Yep.
I think like this really feels like the beginning of a lot, because we're accessing a lot of fresh neurons that we haven't been able to access in a while. If you might be open to a future recording, that would be really awfully cool. And also Mara wanted so to join us. It was so important to her, and she got really, really, really sick. And I am slightly less sick and more used to performing when I am hopefully not that sick. But if we could do that sometime in the future when it's comfortable for you, that would be amazing.
I'd love to. Of course, it'd be better to do in person one day, even.
Oh, very much. Well, we have a locational network that we're organizing transitional resources between different locations. So Make Peace Life School is a particular project of Mara's, where we're really cultivating learning environments that are really supportive of living beings. Okay. And all of the different things we can teach and learn from one another are all of the things that make a wonderful ecology, like a wonderful environment with lots of organisms that live peaceably with one another and help one another and grow stronger with one another. And Kindness Caravan is bringing all of these resources, like not only helping people to get from one location to another when otherwise they would be totally denied any kind of mobility resourcing, but also like people who live traveling. And there are so many and many, many more all the time. What do we take with us when this is what matters, but we haven't found the place yet? And like, we're just inventing, like how can we have a garden on the road? Like, it's not ideal, but is it possible? And, you know, some people have experiments and stuff like that, but like, it's a conversation. Yeah. We've been talking garden boats. Boats with gardens on them, with like a food forest, like floating on a boat. And then we can have a dinner, like a dinner opera. Anyway, we're working on it. It'll be good.
Well, my little suggestion there would be, you have a garden everywhere when you have community everywhere. So I would, you know, it's easier to grow food just on the soil, you know, in cities and such. And yeah, I mean, that seems like a really good, it seems like you got some really good ideas. And one of my suggestions is definitely, like, it can be challenging to accomplish things. And the more visionary they are, even the more challenging. And so one thing I always like to recommend is, like, start small and simple and let things grow from there. Because if the alternative is it takes you years to get to it, then that's years where you weren't doing it. Whereas if you start small and simple, you can grow from there. And so it's just, so the idea of like traveling with a garden is very difficult, but if there's gardens wherever you go through a network of communities, then that's, you know, a little easier to accomplish.
You give me a question emerges. Do you have any thoughts on, how we can chart routes to travel from food forest to food forest? Like, do we have a food forest network around here somewhere? And can we talk about how people can move through this network? Okay. Like, I mean, I do
have— Yeah, so there's no food forest network that I know of, but a great thing is IC.org, which is Intentional Communities. Have you heard of that?
I don't think I have. Okay. IC.org.
Yep. IC.org, which just stands for Intentional Communities. And that is a great network of intentional communities. Like, that's the place to find. There's, I don't know, there may be potentially more than 1,000 or a couple thousand listed in the United States alone. And that's, you know, some of them are open for short term. Some are, it's places to go learn, you know, sorry, live. Like, you can live there and live in community. So that's one thing. Another thing that I would look into is WOOFing, which is Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And that's a network of hundreds or thousands of farmers who host people. You work 25 hours a week in exchange for food and lodging, but you're working, learning farming on a farm. So it's like, it's work, it's a great exchange. So that's another thing that I would really check out. And then one other one is Warm Showers, which is a network of cyclists who host other cyclists. And again, there's a review system on there. So, you know, you can stay with people that are, you know, most likely going to be safe because you can just read their reviews. But I've stayed with dozens of people across the United States, you know, on bike tours through Warm Showers. So it's a great network. And I believe it's a pretty safe way to meet people and travel at a low budget on a bicycle all over the United States. And I'm sure it exists. It's in much of the world.
That I really miss my bicycles. The bicycles were lost through a series of violent events. And generally we all have those stories. Yeah. Maybe in a future conversation, we could talk about, oh gosh, too many things. Sorry. It's totally all right. I'm good. This is amazing. I have a lot of ideas. Can you say any last words today about how we watching can support you? RobGreenfield.org.
That's my website. Yeah. You know, honestly, as far as support, like, it's just become empowered human beings that are creating positive community in this country, like just what we talked about, because I'm like, you know, one thing that you move away from is competition. In the environmental movement, in the social justice movement, there should be zero competition, like absolutely zero. And of course, there still is a lot because we're all damaged human beings with our own traumas, trying to find our, you know, meet our needs and find love and affection and so on. But ultimately, there should be no competition in this. So, like, you know, sometimes people are like, how do you measure your work? And I'm like, you can't measure this work truly, because you really never know how you're impacting somebody and how they change their life and how they improve other people's lives through their work. So my answer is, yeah, just follow your dream and have community be a part of that and take care of yourself. Remember that, you know, you simply taking care of yourself in the society in itself is a form of resistance to the system. It is a form of activism. They don't necessarily want us to be really healthy, intelligent, enlightened human beings. So become enlightened, you know, learn skills, and simply, even if for you, it's just regaining your freedom of confidence, of self-love, of gratitude, of building your ability to communicate. All of this in itself is resistance to the system and is absolutely essential.
Thank you, wise words. I would like to let you get on to your evening.
All right.
Thanks for your time, and I'll reach out again as soon as we sort of collect ourselves. Do you feel good about us just sharing this interview publicly?
Yes. Okay,
cool. Yep. That helps me. I'll talk to you again soon. Good luck with everything.
All right. Well, very nice to meet you, and I definitely look forward to talking again. And as I'm traveling around the United States this year, maybe I'll be able to put on some events where you have within your network and people will be able to come out and meet, you know, and meet, share a hug, say hello.
That would be so cool. We will include that in future conversations.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah. I've been wanting to start doing some barefoot community walks where we just go for short walks barefoot, you know, connecting with the earth.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right. So nice to see you. Keep up the good work. Congrats on, you know, making it forward and all that you're doing.
Thank you.
All right.
See you soon.
Talk to you soon.